Barbos?
Letitia Barbos.
Letitia Barbos. Okay, would you state, once again, I'm sorry to have to do it twice, but would you state your name and agency number for the record this time?
Okay, Letitia Barbos, 299953.
Ms. Barbos, you appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Committee for your revocation hearing this morning regarding the one allegation on your work. And based upon information that we have here, we show that you was notified of this hearing on June the 15th of this year. Do you remember that notification, ma'am?
No.
Well, that's the one.
Oh, yeah.
That you signed saying that the hearing would be held today.
Yes, sir.
Okay, among other things on that, it stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room. Therefore, may we assume that you're going to represent yourself this morning?
Yes, sir.
And we're going to be doing this by telephone. Therefore, you cannot see us, and we cannot see you this morning. Since we're doing it by telephone, I want to introduce you to the board members who will be participating in your hearing today. And there are five board members participating in your hearing. And they are the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair. We also have in the room with us today, Mr. Westby. The Honorable Mr. Westby is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer of today. Ms. Barbos and Mr. Westby, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
I do.
Thank you. As I indicated, Ms. Barbos, you have one allegation on your word. I'm going to read it. Once I read it, you can tell me whether it's true or false, and then we will probably go into phase two, depending upon what we learn after we read this, after we read the allegation. I'm going to read it now. And it reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 10190 East Prospect Vista Way Street in Tucson, Arizona, on or about January 12, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts was unknown, thus you were a stranger from supervision. Ma'am, is that true or false?
That's true.
Thank you. Based upon the admission of Ms. Barbos, I move to find that she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision, that she was delinquent, that she had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company. And that is my motion.
Second.
Motion by C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Now, ma'am, we're going into phase two. You're here. Phase two, very important, because at the end of phase two, the board will make a determination of whether to return you to the community or whether to keep you incarcerated until you complete your supervision. So before, as part of this process, we're going to receive some background information on you from the Department of Correction, and that will be Mr. Westby. Once we get that information, then we're going to come back and speak with you. Do you understand, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so at this time, Mr. Westby, sir, would you be kind enough to give us some background information?
Ms. Barbos was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on December 15, 2017. She was arrested on May 22, 2018 by Tucson PD on a new felony charge of narcotic drugs violation, dangerous drugs violation, drug paraphernalia, and for failure to appear at Tucson City Court warrants. She was back in DOC custody on June 4, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of August 23rd, 2018, 130 abscond days. Current conviction, 2017, misconduct involving weapons, 1 year. Prior conviction, 2015, trafficking and stolen property, 4 months. This is the second term of DOC, CUIR score 4-4, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 3. There was no gang information noted. Prior supervision, 2015, TIS release completion 1 month. Disciplinary violations are minimal. Under arrest, 2009, shoplifting, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2009, assault, juvenile probation. 2009, criminal damage, juvenile probation. 2012, theft, Colorado, felony conviction, probation. 2012, taken identity of another, Colorado, guilty, other sanction. 2016, shoplifting, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2016, narcotic drug violation, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2016, drug paraphernalia, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2017, shoplifting, Arizona, disposition unknown. Her community risk score is G3B2. I do have status of charges from Officer Gomez, dated June 20th, 2018, that states the case was dismissed as of May 31st, 2018.
Okay, thank you so very much. So the case has been dismissed, but you still have to come before the board and the Board of Executive Clemency, and we still need to talk with you so that the board can make its determination. So based on information that we have and that you already know, you were to reside with your mother when you were released. How long did you remain at your mother's residence, ma'am?
I was there, but I was back and forth from my mom's to my baby dad's house, and so, like, I wouldn't call her for days at a time. But that's my residence. I wasn't keeping in contact with her like I should have been.
Okay, and any particular reason why you weren't keeping in contact with your parole officer, ma'am?
Wait, I'm sorry?
I was saying, any particular reason that you weren't keeping in contact with your parole officer for 130 some odd days? I said, any particular reason?
No, there's no particular reason. I was in contact with him for the most part, but I guess when he went to go do the home visit is when everything fell off, and I got scared and just didn't go back and talk to him.
Okay. But you continue to live between your mother's residence and
my daughter's father, yeah.
Yes, okay. And we don't show any employment. Did you have any employment while you were out now?
I did not.
Okay, did you attempt to seek any, or you just decided not to?
No, I attempted. I did.
But nothing was out there just waiting for you. So so what did you do during those 130 days? Were you on drugs, or were you just hanging out with your friends? What were you doing for 130 days, ma'am?
Nothing really, just not listening. I did a little bit of what my parole officer asked me. I had signed up with mental health. I went and did my fines, and I tried to stay out of trouble for the most part. But I just wasn't keeping in contact, I guess, just hanging out.
Excuse me. My next question, you don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway, since you mentioned that your parole officer recommended that you would do something that related to evaluation of your mental health status. Did you have any type of problem that as it relates to SMI or anything like that, ma'am?
No, I mean, I'm not like, I'm not SMI by the state, but I've been in and out of counseling since I was 14, so he wanted me to get back into it.
When you were younger, 14 and up, what did you, were you ever?
That's right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Were you ever on any medication, anything of that nature? It was just so minor, you didn't have to do anything to deal with it.
I was on medication until I aged out of the system for just like minor stuff like anxiety and like bipolar depression.
Based on information that we have, if the bill does not let you out now, you're going to be out in August at any rate. So what are your plans, whether you get out now or you get out in August? So what do you plan to do now?
I would like to work. Like, I really do want to change. I tried. I get scared easy, but I don't know. Just something different. I thought I was doing something different than before I got locked up, before I got arrested in April to do my year sentence. I guess I'm just going to try harder than this last time.
Okay, so you're going to try to seek some employment, but what skills do you have? Do you have any skills at all? What could you do once you're out, ma'am? I mean, in terms of employment.
I've done a lot of different things. I worked at McDonald's, the movie theaters, cleaning houses. I was in phlebotomy classes for a while until I caught that case in Colorado, and then I just didn't end up going back to school. But, I mean, I guess I have a few different trades, like nothing big or anything.
You don't have to have anything big. You can just always build on what you're doing. You know, I mean, it takes some skills, you know, to work out of McDonald's to work anywhere. You know, I mean, if I had to work out of McDonald's, I wouldn't be able to function. But it takes some skills there. Because if I was working at McDonald's, I would just eat up all my profits and all McDonald's profits too. That's what it takes, some skills, is what I'm saying. So you have some skills. You're just gonna have to use your skills. And I just have a feeling that you already have those skills, and you just really need to concentrate on what you're going to do in the future, because you have a great future before you. You're just now 25 years of age, am I correct, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
And you're still young. You can move forward. Okay, at this time, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you. I have four distinguished board members here, and they may have some questions for you, and they're outstanding, you know. So any questions, board members? I don't see any questions from other board members at this time. Therefore, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement before the board goes into discussion. Tell the board anything you want to tell without repeating yourself. The board is now ready to listen to you now.
I would just like one more opportunity to be on parole to prove to not only myself, but to the Arizona Department of Corrections that I can be successful. I've done it once before. I know I can do it again. And I would just like to prove myself, I guess.
Okay. Because you completed your supervision back in 2015, you know you can do it. It's just a matter of your concentrating, going ahead and do it. Anything else you want to tell the board, ma'am?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much. Now the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet, but please stay on the phone, because this is, we operate under the open meeting law. You're able to hear everything that we say, that each board member would say, and before the board makes this decision. So please remain on the phone. The board is now in discussion. I find that Ms. Barber, she's a very interesting young lady. She has a great future before her. I think she does get just a little shaky, but maybe it's not because of any health reason, any other reasons. I think now she's just turned 25, well, almost 26, and I think this is the time for her to get her life together. And I want to believe that she's prepared to get her life together now, and so that she can move forward into the future. However, I think from my perspective, it would be in her best interest at this time just to stay on until August, put together a plan, work with her mother, work with a CO3, and come out of that with a plan that she can live step by step, day by day, then I believe that she can be successful. But that's just my feeling, but now I'm prepared to listen to other board members. Board members, anything that board member wants to add, subtract, or whatever, board members. Don't hear anything else from board members at this time, therefore I'm going to offer a motion and see where it goes. My motion is going to be to find that Ms. Barbush violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that she was or may have been into criminal ways. We don't know for sure, because she was out for 130 days. We don't know what she was doing that period. She could have been doing something very positive. By the same token, she could have just been doing something that was negative, because she's always or should have been in contact with the parole officer during that whole period of time that she was out, but she was not. Therefore, with that being said, and with the information contained in the warrant number 2018-W0414, I'm going to move to find that Ms. Barbush did violate terms and conditions of supervision. Therefore, I'm going to move to revoke her community supervision based upon the same. That is my motion.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Ma'am, the community supervision has been revoked. However, as I stated, you're going to be out from August the 23rd of this year. And that's not that wrong. It's not, as one of my colleagues was saying, it's just months. In fact, it's just days. It's not like it's years. It's just days, and you're going to be out. You're going to be on your own. So please put together a plan, because I know and I believe, as other board members know, that you can be successful. So good luck, and please pass the form on to the, your CO3 or to the next one in line, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so very much, and good luck.